shared that they have this sign here for the elementary school. And I thought, you know, that's not a bad sign for our church to have be a whole body listener. It says brain thinking, eyes looking, ears hearing, mouth quiet. So I do encourage you today to engage in listening to God's Word with your Bible open, and perhaps God wants to show you something just by looking at His Word that I might not be able to show you this morning. The passage that we're looking at this morning has really gripped me this week. As I read this passage, which I've read a thousand times, as I read this passage this week, it really gripped me just how easy it is for us who have been Christians for a long time to just quickly glaze over passages of Scripture that we know, and maybe in our minds to say, yeah, I know this passage, I read this before. But to not really ask ourselves, am I obeying this passage? Is this the truth that I am living out? Is what Jesus says about the gospel, is it what I say about the gospel? Or do I just say, in my mind, I know this, and yet I've really not taken enough time to really ask myself if I'm obeying the Scriptures or not? Also this week, I started listening to an audio book when I was on the MTR or on the bus, of the widow of one of my good friends who 7 years ago was martyred in a certain part of the world for sharing his faith. He was getting into his car one morning to go to work, and he knew there were some threats against his life, but he continued sowing seeds of the gospel and was killed by Al-Qaeda operatives. And when I've listened to his story again on this audiobook, it's just been amazing to me how much my friend was truly a fisher of men. He truly counted the cost, even in the midst of difficulty. So I thought about him this week as I read this passage. Jesus beginning his ministry and Jesus proclaiming the gospel, it's been very sobering to look at myself and ask myself, am I really obeying the Scriptures? Let's pray together and ask the Lord to open our eyes this morning. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we have worshipped you in song, lifting up our voices in praise to you because you are worthy. We worship you, Lord, in praying to you, casting our cares upon you because we know that you care for us. You are a good, loving Father. We worship you in giving our tithes and our offerings because it does belong to us. Giving it to you, back to you, as a way of worship to say, it's not ours. And now we want to worship over your word. And I am so aware this morning that what else can I say except what you have already said? So I'm asking this morning that you would help me by your Spirit. And I'm asking that you would help all of us today, Father, to be doers of your word and not hearers only. So, by your Spirit, through your word this morning, speak to our hearts, please. We pray in Jesus' name. So, this morning, we really just want to look at two things. As we're looking in Mark, who is Jesus? Who is this man that we're looking at in Scripture? This morning we want to look at two things. The message of the king. Simply want to look at the things that Jesus actually said. Time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And secondly, the messengers of the king. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. There seems to be some time gap in between verses 13 and 14. It says that John, now after John was arrested, but if you look in Matthew 4 and Luke 4 and John 4, there seems to be some other things that were happening in between this time. But remember, as we look at the book of Mark, that Mark is really, maybe we could say in this day and age, Mark is just posting events about Jesus' life. It's just snapshots of the life of Jesus. He's not giving us all the details. He doesn't give us the details of why John was arrested. He just says, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee. So Mark is just giving us this flyby of Jesus' life. And I'll admit, because the other passages in Mark, in Matthew, Luke, and John, there are some interesting things, but we really don't want to, this morning, kind of dissect Jesus is when he's calling these guys to be fishers of men. We can make all kinds of application about, you know, how we throw the nets, or how we should fish, or where we should fish, all of these intricate details about fishing. That's not the main point. The main point this morning is Jesus' message. And actually, maybe next week, we'll look at some personal things, even for our church, in light of this. But not today. We're going to look at the message of the king. So what is this message that Jesus is bringing? He begins his ministry and he starts out and he says that he is proclaiming the gospel of God. It's a unique phrase. I'm not going to try to squeeze out everything that we can out of it, but just to say it is God that is initiating. It is the good news of God. God is the one who is bringing this good news. And Jesus is proclaiming this. Jesus is not just coming and sitting down on the grass and having a nice talk, but he is coming and heralding this message. And the message of Jesus, the message of the king, is not necessarily, it doesn't necessarily sound like good news. We know gospel means good news, but is he really saying something that sounds good on the surface? I think I've said each week that the good news is only good news unless there is first bad news. It doesn't make any sense to bring something that is good unless people need something that is good, or to bring and herald good news unless there's something bad that has happened. Jesus is saying, now hear this. God has broken into human history and in time like never before to provide a way of salvation for mankind. So the gospel of God that he is proclaiming, he tells us in verse 15. In verse 15, we look exactly at the words that Jesus said. The time is fulfilled. This is a historic moment. It's a significant time. It's a Kairos moment. Think about this. Before the foundations of the world, and then through Genesis, through the patriarchs, through the law, through the prophets, all of this time where God has been building this story of redemption, it's now at this very moment that the time has arrived. John the Baptist was saying, get prepared, because the time is coming, and it's almost here, and he is at the door. But now, Jesus is actually here. The one who spoke galaxies into existence, the one who is the Lord of all creation, is actually speaking to them at this point in time. Think about that. God himself is there, right there. Like Malachi, we read the first week, God whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. It's now. The point in time has now arrived. It has been fulfilled. The time is complete. The one whom has been coming and has been promised to come is actually here right now. God is before their very eyes, speaking to them. And when God opens his mouth and speaks, it means something very significant. So the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew says the kingdom of heaven. Mark calls it the kingdom of God. What does it mean? What does it mean when the kingdom of God has come near? Well, kingdom means a king has arrived. He has come, a sovereign ruler has come on the earth. His kingdom is breaking in. Time is fulfilled. Does this sound like good news? Is it good news? Would it be good news this morning if all of a sudden we had a message that a king had arrived in Hong Kong, a new king had arrived? Would that necessarily be good news? Or would it be shocking news? Would it be terrifying news if a king showed up? Well, it's only good news for those who are willing to surrender their kingdom. So when Jesus shows up and he says, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, it creates a crisis. It's terrifying, yet it's glorious. He's not safe, but he is good, right? So how are we to understand what the kingdom of God is? How are we to understand what it means when the kingdom of God comes? Does it mean that the kingdom of God has already come? Does it mean that the kingdom of God is still coming? Or is it something that we look forward to in the future that the kingdom of God is going to come? Well, the answer is yes. The kingdom of God has come, and the kingdom of God is still coming, and the kingdom of God will eventually come in all of its fullness. I thought about this even yesterday as we had some guests from the church come to our house. And our children are always very, very excited when we have people come to our house. So they know there's only one bus really to our house. And so when you hear the bus coming, you can say, they're here. But they're not really here. So the children may see the bus coming up the hill and say, hey, mom, dad, they're here. Or they maybe see the bus pull up at the stop and they may say, well, guess what? They're here. But they're actually not in the door yet. So all of those would be true. So Jesus, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ has come. And it's still coming today as Jesus told us to pray, our Father in heaven, thy kingdom come. And then we look forward to the day when the kingdom of God will come in all of its fullness. When Jesus will literally step into the door. And we will see him face to face. What is the message that Jesus brings? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand, and it creates, his coming creates a crisis of decision for us. And his message is, repent and believe in the gospel. If you recall, this is the same message of John the Baptist. John the Baptist also in Matthew chapter 3 verse 2 said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, let me ask you a question. If someone came to you today and said to you, you have areas of your life that you need to change, does that sound like good news to you? Would you receive that as, well, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you telling me today that I have things to work on. Or would you not immediately feel like you would be defensive? So the message of the kingdom is not necessarily good news on the surface. John said Jesus is coming soon. He will baptize you with water, so get yourself ready to change. And now Jesus is there, will baptize in the Holy Spirit, who will actually give you the power, and he will change you. What do you think about the word repent? Is that a word that we use in our everyday language, that you need to repent? Maybe even this morning, you don't even like saying that word. It's not comfortable to say the word repent. Maybe we'll say change a little, or I have some things that I need to work on, or I'm not there yet. So what does it mean to repent? It's a change of mind leading to a change of behavior. It's not just a change of mind. It's not just thinking differently or knowing something in my head, but it's a change of mind leading to a change of behavior. I'll change my mind about what? About my sin. Turn away from what? Well, turn away from sin and turn toward Jesus. This actually means, when Jesus says this, he's actually saying, keep repenting and keep believing in the gospel. That was very interesting for me to look at this week and ask myself, am I really living with an attitude of to keep repenting and keep believing? Or am I just have I just thought in my own life of, well, I did that once. I repented once, so now I'm okay. Or do I live with a mindset that I should keep repenting and keep believing? Repent of what? Repent of sin. Turn away from sin. Turn away from behavior. Original sin. And believe in what? Believe in the gospel. So, this morning, we really want to look at what is the gospel? What is the gospel? The gospel is God is the creator of all things. He's worthy of worship and will punish sin. Is that good news? All people, though created good, have become sinful by nature. Created good in the beginning, but now born in sin. From birth, all people are alienated from God, hostile to God, and subject to the wrath of God. Does that sound like good news to you? But what is the good news? Jesus Christ, who is fully God and fully man, lived a sinless life. As we talked about a few weeks ago, he died on the cross to bear God's wrath in the place of all who would believe in him, and rose from the grave in order to give his people eternal life. God calls everyone everywhere to repent, to turn away from their sins, and trust in Christ in order to be saved. That is good news, though it doesn't sound like good news, because in Jesus coming, in Jesus beginning his ministry, in the kingdom of God coming, it's good news for us that man does have a way to be delivered from sin. But the coming of the King, Jesus' coming, creates a crisis, a judgment for us, that now we are without excuse, and we have to decide whether we are going to follow this King or we're going to follow this King. As this book was written to believers in Rome who were undergoing persecution, they could be reminded that, yeah, Nero, this king is persecuting you, but just remember that you have a king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whose kingdom is coming and is going to continue to come, and he will reign forevermore. And those who believe, who repent, and believe of their sins will be saved. And those who don't will not be. So Jesus' message demands response. It is repent and believe in the gospel, or stay and pay. Repent and believe in the gospel, or stay where you are. Stay in your current life and pay the price yourself. So I want to ask you this message of the King. This is the message of the gospel. Is this the gospel that you have embraced? Or is this the gospel, is this the good news that you seek to give to other people? To be honest with you, I was reminded of a conversation I had with a neighbor a couple of weeks ago. And really, When I was sharing with him, this wasn't the gospel that I was sharing with him. I was actually sharing him more of a message of, you can have your best life now if you follow Jesus. Because he was sharing with me, that he basically hates his job and he hates his life. He's just commuting all the way to the island and working all day and commuting back home, and he basically has no life. But I failed to share with him the message of the gospel. Yes, it's true that Jesus gives true joy. But we have to be careful that in sharing the message of the gospel, that our gospel does not become something different than Jesus' gospel. That we just simply share with people that Jesus will fix your problems, or Jesus will give you a better life than the life that you have now. We must be careful that when we talk about Jesus and the gospel, that we address sin. The message of the King. And what is or who are the messengers of the King. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus said, repent and believe in the gospel. And then Jesus said, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. So passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Interestingly enough, if you look in the Old Testament, where the Bible talks about fishing, or fishing for men, in the Old Testament, it's generally not good news when God is fishing for men. God is the one who does the fishing. And in the passages you see on the screen, Jeremiah 16, Ezekiel, Amos, and Habakkuk, if you look at those passages, Jeremiah is more of a passage where God is saying, I will bring the children of Israel, I will go and send fishermen, and I will bring the children of Israel back from where they're from, various places in the world. But Ezekiel, Amos, and Habakkuk are all passages of judgment, where God says that he will judge mankind and go after them and fish them with hooks. So fishing in the Old Testament for men is not seen as rescuing men, but it's seen as judging them. And there's a sense that today, it's true, it actually is not a sense, it is true that today, when we are fishing for men, it has to do with judgment as well. So when we fish for men, so let's say that we have a net, and we are casting our net, and we are fishing men, what are we getting them from? And what are we saving them to? Snatching people from what? When we fish. When you share the gospel with people, what are you doing? When you're fishing for men, what are you doing? You're snatching people, or God is snatching people by his grace through your message from God's judgment. To rescue people from judgment, and to do what? Give them eternal life. Save them from original sin. Save people from slavery to sin. And bring them into his kingdom. So in this sense, it's not like fishing for fish. Fishing for people is actually taking people from something bad and taking them to something that is good. But if I go out here into Hoihawan and I fish, I'm actually taking the fish from the good place out of something into something bad, right? Taking them out of their what they want to be in, and I'm taking them to judgment, to the dinner table. So in that sense, it is different, but they both involve judgment, do they not? So we are rescuing people. So understand the reality of this, that people that we know, if they don't repent and believe in the gospel, that they're not just going to not have a good life, they're actually going to perish for all eternity and face the wrath and judgment of God. So when we give the gospel, we are actually giving them good news to say, jump into the nets. Or have God throw you into the nets by his grace that you will be saved. William Lane, in his commentary on Mark, I love this quote that he says. He says, because Jesus has come, fishing becomes necessary. So Jesus has come on the earth, and he's come because God will judge all men through him and through the message of the gospel about him. And because of that, now fishing for men becomes necessary. So, some questions for us this morning. Ask yourself this morning, have you truly been saved? Do you truly know Jesus Christ? You may know about him. You may know the answers. You may know this book, but have you followed Jesus? Have you repented of your sin and believed in the gospel? Has there been a change? Has there been a turning in your life away from sin and a turning toward Christ or to Christ? Well, the message of the gospel is a message of urgency. Today is the day of salvation. Today would be the day for you to repent and believe in the gospel. Maybe you need to keep repenting and keep believing the gospel. Maybe you've grown up, or maybe you have believed the mindset that you just simply became a Christian, and then from now on it's just coasting till you get to heaven. But you have ceased to continue to repent daily, as we all need to, and to keep believing in the gospel of Jesus. Maybe today you're like me, where in studying this passage, I just had to cry out to the Lord and say, God, make me a fisher of men. By your grace, make me a fisher of men. Confess your lack of fishing and ask God to make you become that by his grace. Perhaps the biggest obstacle to people coming to Jesus and believing the gospel is that we don't actually believe the gospel. Perhaps today you have similarly, you have simply lost your zeal for fishing. Let's just be honest. Life in Hong Kong can be very busy. You eat, you commute, you work, you commute, you eat, and you sleep. And then you repeat. Eat, commute, work, commute, eat, sleep. What time is there for fishing for men? You have to war against the culture and war against society in a way where you carve out opportunities to cast your net into deep waters. Maybe life has become so busy that you're too busy cleaning the nets and no time to fish. Maybe this morning you just need to pray. We're going to pray in just a second. You just need to pray and you just say, God, revive my heart. Refresh me. Renew me. Give me the grace which leads to repentance, that I can repent and believe the gospel afresh and anew, and I can get busy fishing for men. The message of the King is to repent and believe in the gospel, and we are the messengers of the King, that daily we are to be casting our nets wherever we are to rescue people from the judgment of God, because the gospel is good news to those who are perishing. Let's have a time of prayer. Just encourage you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's have a few moments of just silent prayer before the Lord. Father, I just confess this morning I feel so inadequate to be able to proclaim your truth. So inadequate to do your word justice. Thank you for the promise that your word will not return void. Pray that you would cause not my words, but the words of the Scripture this morning to fall into good soil, that it might produce repentance, might produce gospel fruit in our lives. Just relinquish any desire to feel like I can change anyone this morning. I pray that you would do it by your Spirit, through your word. any words that I have said this morning that have not been useful or have not been beneficial, just let them fall by the wayside, be forgotten for all eternity. I pray that your word would stick, that you would use it in each of our hearts, that it would just marinate. Our hearts would soak it up and use it to bring about glory.